Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we've been talking about hindrances to accomplishing or achieving our purpose now. And again, our purpose is to join with God in becoming one. Our soul, spirit, and body becoming one, united to our spirit, which is already united to God. So that's our, for us Christians, success is actively depending on God to live his life in and through us on his terms. If we're actively depending on God to do his thing, what then is our purpose? What can we hold on to? What are we doing here on earth? It's knowing him in whatever way he chooses. And this is where the individuality of our relationship with him comes in. That you and I, though we are all going to have the same overall, overarching goals and purpose and success, which is to know him, to enjoy eternal life now, to learn to live as spirit beings in the kingdom now, to overcome our enemies and to be healed, to be making the most of whatever opportunities God has for us. Those are all generalities. You and I each have a specific path to walk down. God has created circumstances and situations that are only for you. The situation you're in right now was specially crafted by God for you. And your spirit joins him in that. I want you to think about the very best part of your life right now. And then also think about the thing you'd love to change right now. And then everything in between right now. That's all something you've agreed to. Whether you're going through a high point or a low point, whether there's things about your life that you love or hate, those are all things that your spirit, who you truly are, has agreed to. You are not a victim. You're not a victim of your past, your present, or the enemies, any of your enemies. Because even your flesh, God chooses when and how he frees us from our flesh. God chooses which wound he heals when and what it looks like and what effect it has on our life. But that choosing he shares and reveals with our spirit. Who you truly are is that spirit. So in a sense, you've already agreed with him to everything that's going on in your life right now, the good and the bad. So our purpose now is to embrace that and learn to live as true overcomers, knowing that Jesus has already overcome everything except flesh. And because we are in him, literally and figuratively, however you want to put it, because remember, we've already overcome time. We're crucified with him. We died with him. We rose again. We are now with him seated in heavenly places. We are now in the kingdom. We are now joint heirs and co-inheritors with him. We are now spirit beings. The problem is that two of our enemies, Jesus overcame when he was here. Satan and all his little buddies and the world system. He overcame those, but he did not overcome flesh. The crutches that we form when we are wounded. Because he, from the very beginning, knew how to go to his Father to get healed. So when it comes right down to it, that's the only thing that we have to learn to do on our own, is through doing the same thing he did, learning to go to Father to get our wounds healed, then applying it and releasing it, releasing those crutches so that God in his timing can take away our crutches so we can then learn to walk in that particular area. We have all been rejected. We have all been broken. It's how we respond. There's two kinds of people in this world, those that have been rejected and those that have been rejected more. Those that have been broken and those that have been broken more. We've all have had things happen to us that were out of our control and have wounded us. That's part of why we're here. It's not that something slipped through God's fingers and we were accidentally wounded. No, even our wounds, even the most negative parts of our lives, was part of God's plans, his intentional plans. Satan is not God's equal. He is not God's opposite. God is not standing by and letting Satan do something that God doesn't really want done. Everything that happens on this earth is intentional. Everything that's happening in your life is intentional. So when we start looking at what we hate about our lives, what we love, even those things, we can start seeing, okay, is this God trying to talk to me about something? And the more we are in constant communication with him and allowing him to use even the good things, or especially the good things, I'd much rather have God deal with me about through good things than negative things. And I wonder if we would have less negative things in our life if we did respond to him out of his blessings, out of his the goodness of God that draws us. We could say it's the goodness of God that draws us, but it's the severeness of God that drives us. I'd rather be drawn. I'd rather he draw me by his goodness than feel like I need to run to him because he's my last chance in dealing with something that's negative. He loves us. Yet, the only way most of us experience that love is when we have no other option. Because we've tried everything we know. We've gone to every other resource. And the only hope we have left is God. What if we turned to God first? What if he was our first hope instead of our last? What if we had that confidence that we were always in his presence, because we are. But how What would happen if we knew we were? So that's what we've been talking about. So what is our purpose now? And what is hindering our purpose now? We've been talking about how our enemies hinder our purpose now. The world system hinders our purpose now. And the world system has its own life. God gave there's a dynamic that exists on the earth that we are a part of, that is part of the supernatural and the natural realm. And there are aspects of it that affect both our soul and our body. And the more we become aware of those aspects, the easier it is to overcome them. But a lot of this is what we believe. And if we are not willing to allow God, not us, not me, not your own mind, but allow God to change your mind, to change your belief, and replace it with truth, his truth. Now, some of the elements of the world system include time itself, death, which is our enemy, decay, peer pressure. Peer pressure is a big one. Success. Success can be just as revealing of our character as any other negative pressure. Busyness is part of the world system. Just being busy all the time, trying to feel, you know, there's people out there that we all have the same 24 hours a day, but they just never have enough time. Circumstances. The circumstances in your life are part of the world system. Your status, your physical needs, your social structure, the class structure, and even overcommitment of your time and your resources. There is a power in this world system that is even enforced by the original curse. There is also a wisdom of this world. The children of this world are wiser about this world than the children of the kingdom. The children of this world know that all they have is what they can get. But this is not true for us. We are challenged to be not conformed to the demands of this world, to be different, to be separate from those who have no hope, who are without internal or eternal resources. We are learning to resist the peer pressure, the pull, to maintain whatever status quo is prevalent in our own world. And that can pertain to your family, to your community, to your country, and to even what is going on in this world right now. How easy it is to settle for less. We compare ourselves with those who are close to us or those we consider in leadership positions. And by doing so, that action of comparison subtly affirms that their lives or their teachings are our standards. In other words, that we measure ourselves according to those that we say or believe are leaders. But God values us now as is, right now, as you are. and he expects us to value ourselves on the same basis. So he's not thinking, okay, you need to change here. And he doesn't want you thinking that either. Your spirit is a finished work. And he knows the work in your soul and your body will be complete because he's the one doing it. Value doesn't depend on what we have accomplished in the past. And it doesn't depend on what we may accomplish in the future. But your value is based on what he says is true about you. And he says you are one in him and with him. And anything he says that is true about his son is true about you. And by you not believing that, you are arguing with him. It is a false humility to think of yourself as a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner saved by grace. The emphasis is on the saved by grace. That word saved, don't we call that a past tense? I was saved by grace. That's past. I am now past being a sinner. I am now a saint. Now, yeah. True, it's only in my spirit. But that's the part that matters. We are working out our sainthood, our salvation. And that's what we're here for, is to learn how to live as the saints we are in our spirit. As citizens of this kingdom, we walk in this world. And we learn to not use its resources to get our needs met. But instead, what's his main character? What's God's main character? God is love. What does that look like? His nature, his expression of his love is to give. God gave his son unconditionally. God changes us unconditionally. He gives himself unconditionally. Our job is to receive unconditionally. But how do we partake of that? As if we are now spirit beings, we accept unconditionally what he gives unconditionally, and then in turn learn how to give unconditionally without worrying about receiving in return. Now, part of that giving is to give according to spirit. Not according to need. Just because you see someone in need doesn't mean it's your job to give something to them. And this is true for any kind of resource you may have, your time, your money, your encouragement. God may not want that person encouraged because they're going down the wrong path. So we are being used, we're becoming available as spirit beings for God to have an impact, to bring to this world the riches of his kingdom. His life, his victory, true freedom. We minister to the world and the world system because we have received from outside of it. We're not taking from one pile of the world system and sharing it with the world. We're bringing into this world eternal life. So we can act and give independently of the world's influences. Now, this is where we run afoul of the world system. The world system wants you to be under its control, whether for good or evil. Again, it has a power of itself, in and of itself. It's part of that curse. God's curse enlivened the world system, gave it its power over us. But it's there for us to overcome. And to overcome, we have to recognize God's voice. Always comes back to hearing Him clearly. The spirit of this world, with all its information, its sensory bombardment, and what is falsely called knowledge, pollutes our minds and batters our emotions to distract us from the focus of knowing God's truth by knowing Him. So we spend most of our lives trying to make life easier for ourselves. But here is a promise that we often have a hard time claiming. Jesus promised that in this world we will have tribulation. You don't see that claimed very often, do you? It's going to come. Because it exposes where we are depending on our strengths rather than on God's. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Whatever your situation is, whether you're in a good situation or a bad situation, it doesn't matter. It's not a reflection of God's blessing or a curse on you. It's not a reflection of how much He loves you. Whatever your situation is exactly the situation that was crafted for you. And into every life, both the bitter and the sweet come. And the sooner we embrace that understanding, the more easily, when the Lord directs us one way or the other, when He heals us, when He reveals those crutches that we've been depending on, the more when He says, I'd like to take this now, are you ready to let go? We can say yes. And when He does that, when He takes our crutches, there's change, and change is hard. And we have to relearn how to walk. And we have to learn to use muscles we haven't used before. Because the crutch was good. We needed the crutch. We were wounded there. And we didn't know how to walk without that crutch. Because we'd been using it for so long. It was part of our existence. But now that crutch isn't there anymore. And we really don't want it because it's not part of us. And you can't run with a crutch. You can't fly with a crutch. You can't swim with a crutch. You're limited by your crutch. So God, after healing you, wants to take that crutch in His timing. But we have to be willing to change and learn how to live without that crutch. C.S. Lewis wrote, "Progress means getting nearer to the place you want to be. If you've taken a wrong turn, going forward does not get you any closer to your goal. If you're on the wrong road, progress means doing an about face. You stop and turn around. In that case, the one who turns back soonest is the most progressive. Either way, you're in the desert, be it with others or by yourself. So we choose which direction are we going to go. Are we going to go with everybody else because they're going a particular direction? Or are we going to recognize, no, this is not the way God wants me to go? And we stop and we turn and we go the direction he says. So we look at how we overcome our enemies, and we look at God's purposes for us, and part of our challenge is always accepting his love for us. And that might be wounds that you even know you have but didn't know how to address. And part of our challenge is to make our day, change our day, schedule our day, a habit throughout the day of turning to him for any response, any emotional or mental or desire for change or making a decision or choosing something, any activity in our soul may be an attempt of God to reveal an area that he wants to draw attention to. It's like becoming more and more sensitive to the slightest breeze and recognizing, okay, there's a breeze there. Is that the Lord trying to get my attention? We can do that in the physical. We can feel a breeze on our skin. Well, his presence works the same way in our soul. That any shift, no matter how subtle, in our mind, our will, our emotions, can we become so sensitive that the slightest tapping on our door, that he doesn't have to pound on our door to get our attention, that he doesn't have to send an angel with a trumpet to get our attention. He can simply whisper. We say, yes, Lord, what's going on? Lord, is that you? Are you trying to get my attention? And we have that confidence that we are hearing him, we know how to respond, and then we do it. We respond. Now, we've talked before about how this is not what we're hearing taught. And I think this is part of why there's so much frustration and anger. Because there's what we thought was working as Christians has failed. Trying to effect change through, for instance, electing Christian officials has failed. We can't look to people, period, to change something God has set in motion. But we look at, okay, what are we assuming about what has been set in motion? So for each of us, we can ask the Lord, what is going on? What is your purpose for me here now? What is it that you are drawing my attention to? I want to make the most of this opportunity. I want to be involved and available in whatever you're doing. And then enjoy yourself. Because he does have things for you to be involved in. Because he loves you. not because he needs you, not because he owes you, or because you've been set aside or specially anointed or prepared, but just because he loves you. So we will pick it up here next week. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainer's Radio. We'll get together again same time next week. Have a great night.